Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Coming to you after the Pelicans win one in crunch time. Of course this happens. After on yesterday's podcast, I talk about their struggles in crunch, clutch time, whatever you want to call it. Last 5 minutes of the game, up or down five. The Pelicans end up in a situation, I say, hopefully they don't end up in a matchup like this against the Pacers because I wouldn't trust them to win. And then lo and behold, they go and do the unthinkable and absolutely dominate in crunch time, particularly Anthony Davis, who hadn't played up to his standards in that period, in that kind of stressful situation at all. So, of course, the day after I record the podcast talking about their struggles, they must have listened. It's the only logical solution. It wasn't like they just decided to play well. They probably wanted to stick it to me a little bit, but they went out. They played well, and they beat the Indiana Pacers, who I think are a pretty good team. They were one game over 500 at that going into last night, now at 500. But they were in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference, which, let's be honest, not saying a whole lot here. But Pelicans go out and beaten by 7. 102-95 was the final score, with really, you know, kind of like sleepwalked through the game for the first three quarters, and then late in the fourth just decided Anthony Davis had enough of this and was going to do the work and was going to absolutely dominate. And he most certainly did. And you know we're going to be talking about that on today's episode of Locked On Pelicans. Before we get into the dominance of the fourth quarter, and even before that, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the first three quarters and cover that for you guys. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans coming to you 5 days a week. It's at 6 a.m. I promise, I'm going to have some music in the intro on Monday for you guys. I'm actually pretty excited. I'm just editing everything to make sure it's consistent and sounds very good, but should be really fun. Got a cool, very good indie local band who offered it to me, and it was pretty awesome. So we'll debut that on Monday for you guys. We're gonna have a lot to talk about on that podcast, especially with the Houston game coming up. What is it, tonight, I think, in Houston on the road, back-to-back for the Pelicans. So that's going to be a lot of fun to talk about, visiting Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson. But don't forget, Locked On Pelicans coming to you 5 days a week at 6 a.m. No other podcast is covering the Pelicans like this. You're not getting this type of insight and info anywhere else. So please make sure you're subscribing on iTunes, subscribing on Audio Boom, making sure it's downloading to your phone through whatever podcast app you use. I always said I personally use Stitcher. So make sure you're getting that information to your phone, subscribing, liking it, sharing it with friends, rating it 5 stars if you can. These are only good things for the podcast. If you're interested in advertising on here, we're always open to that sort of thing. That's what keeps this podcast free and 5 days a week for everybody. So it's certainly a good thing. So don't forget about all of that. So we're going to break this down kind of by half and then quarter. So the first half, Pelicans, I can't say they looked particularly great. They didn't look, you know, bad, let's say. They were only down 4 at halftime. The biggest thing was they started to go cold after a couple games of hot shooting from 3, especially that Warriors game. They started off, you know, pretty off. They were 2 of 10 from 3. And this is what I was talking about yesterday. The consistency, while their average might be okay shooting, let's say, and it hasn't been this year, the consistency really, really hasn't been there. High peaks, very low valleys, and that's not a team I trust. I'd rather have a team that didn't have as high of peaks and as low of valleys, and they were just a little bit more consistent from 3, which they just haven't been this year. They have guys who can be good shooters on the team, absolutely. But, you know, unfortunately, you get a game where Langston Galloway in the first half goes 1 of 5 from deep. There you go. Guy had been scorching hot until the fourth quarter against the Warriors where he was 0 for 3. So he's not a guy you can necessarily, you know, you go into the game being like, okay, we'll get two threes out of him for sure. We'll get three threes out of him for sure. And that'll help space the offense. Maybe he just goes ice cold. That's a problem. But overall, you know, they kept in the game. Anthony Davis was just doing like a pedestrian, like sleepwalking through. He had 13 points in the first half, 7 rebounds. The best player, you might say, would have been Drew Holiday with 10 points, 6 assists in the first half. You also got to see, and this was kind of cool, the first appearance this year of Tyreke Evans. He only played in the first half 5 minutes, 30 seconds. That's to be expected. They played him in a, you know, kind of two streaks, 5 and 5. He played 10 minutes total in the game, pretty much. Got to the line, didn't make an actual bucket in that. Didn't even take a shot, but just to see him on the court, you could see the Pelicans felt a little bit better with it. They felt a little bit more comfortable. It was good just for him to get out there. He's not in game shape yet. They were talking about it on the broadcast last night. His lungs have got to be burning. And that's why they're going to play him a few minutes in short bursts and not for, you know, a long stretch or anything like that. That's not going to happen just yet. Just nice to get him back. Didn't really contribute, but certainly good to see him on the court. He's got to be happy. He's been out for 11 months. That is a very long time to not play basketball, and not something, you know, you really want to see from a guy. So just nice to just let's just be happy he's out there. Buddy Hield, you guys are going to hear me talk about him more in the podcast, had a good game, 21 points total. First half, 4. Came alive late in the game, in the second half, when they really needed it. It's almost a tale of two halves from the Pelicans, but it's really a tale of 3 quarters and then 1 quarter, and then of that quarter, it's the first half of that quarter, and then the second half of that quarter were the big thing. So, you know, nothing really of note in the first half. Slept walk through it. You know, they shot 2 of 10 from 3. The Pacers shot 2 of 9. Not much better. Both teams shot, you know, right under, you know, over 41%, under 42%. They kind of just matched each other in a weird little game. The Pacers were coming off the second night of a back-to-back. I didn't realize this. I didn't have access to this stat before. They're the worst team in the league on the second night of a back-to-back when it comes to giving up points. So the Pelicans had a chance to score a lot, which they did overall. You figured maybe they'd come out and play much better in the first half than they did, but they didn't shoot particularly well. Turnovers still a problem. They had 9 in the first half, not exactly a good thing. But hey, as we're going to talk about in just a second, they managed to turn it around, and that's ultimately all that matters. Third quarter is really only notable, not for a whole lot. The Pelicans managed to win this quarter 25 points to 24 points, but the big deal of that was Buddy Hield had 14 of those 25 total points. He was 4 of 5 from 3 in this quarter alone, in the third quarter. Was 5 of 8 overall, so he's missing the twos and other shots. But hey, you want him out there making threes. And the rookie definitely did tonight. 4 of 5. Very good for the Pelicans. He, you know, earlier in the game, he'd been putting in some assists too. So he was contributing kind of all around. And he's starting to get his stroke a little bit. His jumper, if you watch it, I'd said, you know, at times he would airball a shot. The next one might be too long. There was no consistency to the way he was missing, which might help you diagnose why he wasn't playing well, why he wasn't shooting well. Tonight, no, jumper just looked good. Simple. Those threes were good. You can see the guy's got a shooting stroke. He's got clean form. I think it's just rookie nerves, just adjusting to the lifestyle of the NBA, the sheer amount of games that you play compared to college, which is significantly more. Look, it was going to take him a little bit of an adjustment. Don't worry about his age. Don't worry about anything else. Guy can shoot. He's starting to contribute. Since December, he's been playing better and better and better, making more and more and more threes. And tonight, this is best game to date in the NBA. 4 of 5 in this quarter. That alone should make you happy if you're a Pelicans fan. But let's get to where the action is. And it's not the new Star Wars movie, which I did see. Tons of action. It's pretty awesome. You should go take a look. The action was late in the fourth quarter, the final half of that quarter, really final 6 minutes. Pelicans were down 5, looked to be en route to another disappointing loss. To a team that they played well against that was better than them, but they couldn't just get that win when they needed to. They had trouble closing games, and it was remarked on a ton by Joel Myers and David Wesley tonight. And like I said, I talked about it on the podcast literally yesterday. And then they go and do this. But it's okay because they win and they played particularly well. So down five, Pelicans went on a 15-0 run, which gave them a nice 10-point lead with about 45 seconds left in the game. That's tremendous. 15-0 against a team that has Paul George, Jeff Teague, Miles Turner, a bunch of other guys that are like very good players in the league. Al Jefferson didn't play a ton in the like 4 minutes. He played in the fourth, though. You could kind of feel him out there. But they have a very good team. And this Pelicans team just went and stuck it to them. You know, really stuck it to him. 15-0 run. And basically, that was all Anthony Davis. He had 10 consecutive points on that 15-0 run. That will do it. Guy was hitting threes, was getting looks at the rim, was getting to the line. His entire fourth quarter, let me tell you guys the numbers here. He played 9.5 minutes, had 13 points on 6 shots. He went to the line. He had 7 free throw attempts in the fourth quarter. That's what you want. I talked about that the other day with the loss to the Warriors. When he got blocked by Durant on that layup, when he had the ball picked out from him, even though it was technically a foul, by Draymond Green. He's got to go hard to the rim, get contact, and get to the line. He's a star player in the league. He can get those calls. He needs to be assertive. Tonight, last night, absolutely was against the Pacers. He did exactly what you wanted to see out of him. He just responded the exact right way, and you couldn't have asked for anything more out of the Pelicans' best player on the night. For the whole game, dude finished with, let me get it here. Got to take a quick look over here. Sorry, even though I kind of know it. 35 points, 16 rebounds, and like we just said, did some massive damage in the fourth quarter to seal this win for the Pelicans. This was a game they needed to win at home. They needed to get off the snide. They've got a tough game tomorrow. Tonight, sorry, you guys know what I do here, against the Rockets. It's going to be tough. You know Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson are going to be gunning for them. The only thing I care about, I'm not expecting the Pelicans to win. That's going to be a tough game for them. Rockets have really good, maybe we'll preview it a little bit at the end here. But, man, you saw exactly what you wanted out of superstar Anthony Davis. You've got to be happy with all the numbers he's put up this year, the scoring, the rebounds, all of that. But you hadn't seen him take over a game when he needed to and basically put the Pelicans on his shoulders and carry them to victory. He did that tonight. That was something Pelicans fans needed to see. It was something I wanted to see. It's something I'm sure the coaching staff and the front office wanted to see. And Anthony Davis delivered. I railed on him the other night and said he didn't do what he needed to in that Golden State Warriors game. And he responded, and that's exactly what you want about out of the best player on the team. I am going to nitpick his game a little bit here because, one, it's worth pointing out, I don't want to just fawn over a dude, even though it's you should in kind of this point. His defense still leaves a lot to be desired, particularly through the first three quarters. He bites on pump fakes a little too much. Miles Turner's a good player. I really like him. That ended up being a great pick for the Indiana Pacers. Dude had 26 points. Davis should be able to just dominate him, destroy him. Wouldn't, because he bites on pump fakes. He wasn't looking around, was off balance, you know, kind of plenty of times. And that's kind of what hurt his game overall. If he played better defense, you're looking at one of the better performances, especially with that fourth quarter, than I think you could have ever expected from him. That defense knocks it down some. Look, I'm happy about the win. No one's complaining about that. But that defense, not particularly great. From him, his individual, one-on-one matchup. And it's just disappointing. You know, good players will absolutely destroy him on offense if he keeps biting on those. You know, the biting on the pump fakes is one of the reasons they lost that Philadelphia 76ers game, a game they really shouldn't have. So that was disappointing. Another guy I want to talk about, nitpick, you know, let's do it. We can't be super-duper happy in sunshine. This is the Pelicans after all. Is Solomon Hill. He's playing his former team. The team that basically said, look, dude, we don't want you. We're not going to pay you. We're going to decline the $1.5 million tender or whatever stupidly low number it was and just said, screw it, we don't need you. Then he goes out and plays well in the second half of the year. And, of course, that them declining that option was before the season started or like a month into the season max. So decline the option. Then he has a great second half of last year, plays insanely well in the playoffs, earns a big contract for the Pelicans. Solomon Hill isn't living up to that. You guys know this. You see him. He had 5 points tonight on offense. Nothing good. He hit 1 3. That's good. That's better than no threes, which he had been hitting before. But he was brought in for defense, defensive purposes. And, you know, that was the big buzzwords and stuff you guys heard this offseason that the Pelicans really tried to sell people on. Defense, all of that. What was it? Blue collar, hungry, things like that. His defense hasn't been that great. Really, you know, really hasn't. He leaves just so much to be desired there too. Guys can blow by him. I don't know if it's a defensive stance. Maybe his weight is on the back of his heels. I have a friend, Alex, pointed that out, said he just looks off balance all the time maybe. I don't know if it's that. That's a good point though. But man, he just takes weird angles to defending. Like I talked about it yesterday. He wants to take away space, but then leaves a lane to the rim. Like, he's worried guys are going to dribble sideways as opposed to straight towards the basket. And I don't know what it is. I'm going to try and dive into a lot more game footage of him and find out. But this was his, like, moment. You know, you want to play against the team and stick it to them that didn't believe in you, especially now that you're playing for a team that did believe in you to the tune of $54 million. And he didn't do it. Didn't rise to the occasion. He had a nice steal late in the fourth. Yeah, that really helped. But overall, You just need more out of this guy, and he's not providing it. He's not really going to touch on the Rockets game. I'm not feeling particularly great about that one. I don't know who on this Pelicans team is going to stop James Harden. Eric Gordon looks like a sixth man of the year coming off the bench for the Rockets, just draining threes, nailing threes, looks great. You know, we knew he was a good three-point shooter here in New Orleans. He's even playing defense over there. Ryan Anderson, less streaky than he's been in New Orleans. He had a lot of threes, and a lot of his looks, even though he'll tell you otherwise, in New Orleans were wide open. But he was streaky, so you would just miss him. You know, shooter's going to shoot, and he would keep shooting, but he would keep missing. That's why I lament, again, these ups and downs of this team at times. But he is one of those guys that was very streaky, less streaky. They're going to rain threes in Houston against New Orleans, especially because the Pelicans struggled to defend on rotations on the perimeter. If they're missing their threes, maybe the Pelicans have a chance. But with Gordon and Anderson being there, you know they want to stick it to this team, so I'm not expecting that to happen. But we'll recap that for you here on Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, for you guys on Monday. Monday, I also want to talk about the CBA stuff that came out. Sounds like the players, is the Players Association and the league have reached an agreement. Lots of news have been leaking from David Aldridge and Spears and Woj, those big names. Take a look at some of it if you haven't had a chance. But I want to talk about what a lot of that means for the Pelicans coming up. What does that mean for next year? A couple seasons down the line, two players particularly, Drew Holiday, who's going to be a free agent after this season, and Anthony Davis will be free agent in a couple other years. And you guys have heard me say, I'm a little bit worried about him potentially leaving. Well, this might make it a little bit easier to keep him. I want to dive into some of the numbers, make sure I exactly have those for you guys. That's why I'm not going to talk about it today. Monday, it'll be a fun one. Might be a bit of a longer podcast. Hopefully have some music. Gonna have some music if I make myself do it. So it should be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to Monday's podcast. So make sure you guys are subscribed to the podcast on iTunes, Audio Boom, whatever it is. Rate it, like it, share it. Just tell a friend about it. I'd be happy with that too. Monday is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of information go in a bunch of different directions with it. So it'll be a very enlightening and fun overall podcast. Recap some games, talk about the future of the franchise. Only a good thing there. The CBA is certainly going to help with that. So wonderful win by the Pelicans tonight. Thank you all for listening. Dominant fourth quarter. Way to prove me wrong, Pelicans, after what I talked about yesterday. I'm okay with it. 102-95 win against the Pacers. A pretty decent team. Good to build on, hopefully. Pelicans play tonight in Houston. That should be a fun one. So make sure you guys catch that. If you don't, I'll have the recap for you on Monday. Thanks again for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, and I'll be back with you guys soon.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.